Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom. Grace and peace to everyone. Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Grace and peace. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, Israel.
Hey. Shalom, Israelite. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man. One more day closer to the big and great, the notable day.
Amen.
Man, God is notable, man. I mean, you know, I ain't trying to rush my life away, but you got to love the Sabbath day. And you got to love the Sabbath day because that means the weekend is here. And the feast, oh my God, yes, yes, the feast is definitely on the weekend. We had like two feasts on the weekend, three. We had Passover, the wave offering, and now you got the Pentecost.
Amen.
You know, then you had the Sabbath day. No, you had four feast days on the weekend. You had the regular Sabbath. Then you had the Passover being the same Sabbath. Then you had the wave offering being that evening, that Sunday night. Then this weekend you got the regular Sabbath day. Then you got at the end of the Sabbath, you got the Pentecost tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night, Saturday night. Saturday night. So, hey, man, it's a big weekend, everybody. I hope everybody's prepared. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, grace and peace. I want to say grace and peace, everyone. Hallelujah. Welcome again to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I am Job Israel. And today we have, tonight, Thursday night, every Thursday night, we have the Spirit of Meekness Bible Study Class out of Peoria.
Ooh, said it was some slang.
Peoria. I had Louisiana out flashback or something. I don't know what's going on down there. But anyway, out of Peoria, we got our brother, Mr. Isaiah Brown, bringing us part two of the book of Ezra.
Amen.
What? The book of priests? You know, people talk about the book of the dead and all this old type of nonsense and the lost books. We don't give Ezra enough go. We don't give Ezra enough props. You read Nehemiah, everybody kind of blow past Nehemiah, you know, when you be dealing with lessons and such like that. But when you read the Bible and you read his stomach, you be like, whoa. After you get done and you read that whole book, it makes you scratch. It just makes you say, that was really good. That was good. That cat got it done. And Ezra and him was like 1 and 2, Jack. 1 and 2. Him and Ezra got it done. The Lord made, the Lord set it up. They set it up for the for Christ coming. So these two books, Ezra and Nehemiah, man, you look. So it's so it's a blessing to be in the book of Ezra right now. And I'm glad it, the Lord put it in his brother's heart to even be there. You know, like I said, it's the book of the priest. So with that being said, we're just going to turn this over to Mr. Isaiah Brown.
Amen, 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 grace and peace, family. And you know what, Job? You are the best person to take care of business when somebody's running short or running late on time. So I'm glad to have you tonight. I misplaced my headphones, you know, my coffee. I made my coffee, forgot to throw the sugar in there. You know, so my face on sour mode. and then got the book with my sister after work and stuff. So, you know, it was a beautiful thing. And I also got also want to tell you guys something, man. You know, I got some great news, you know, definitely for the Blog Talk Radio Show. You know, a lot of folks have been coming to me about the Blog Talk Radio Show. I am Peoria. You know, the Lord also allowed me to put some fruit on at the job. And, you know, and they started to talk to other people about the show. You know, and I also got other people from other places around the world that's also ready to tune into the show. So, you know, big ups, all praises, and the Father's blessing what we do. So we might be getting some, a lot more listeners.
Amen.
Amen.
And one takes one. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I talked to my baby sister. She's about to, I talked to my baby, my blood baby sister. You know, she's been the truth of the exact same time that I got put on, you know, and she's starting to see a lot of things, too. She's starting to see a lot of things. She asked some questions, and, you know, and the things that the Lord allowed you, Job Israel, Asai Israel, Brother Nakomi and stuff, the things that you guys showed me and also the things that I put on the table, you know, it really started to open the eyes up to a lot of people, and a lot of people are starting to see what thus said the Lord according to the scriptures and what's written in the pages of the book. So, man, big ups on everybody. You know what
Amen.
I'm saying? It's a blessing. You know, the Lord is really, he's really starting to open his things up, and I'm glad that the Father allowed us all to get that done.
Man, that's a great, that's glad tidings, man. Glad tidings, and to hear that, you know, salvation is running in your house. That's favor, man. Praise God. And we just hope that the Father increased that. And, you know, man, I said once, I said 1,000 times. I love sitting down listening at my brothers, man. You know, people think, you know, it's the big ups and sitting up here running the book. No, man, it's being in the presence of it, Jack. Queen of Sheba nailed it, man. She said, man, that, I ain't heard the half of it. You know what I mean? She nailed it. Yeah, so. That's where I'm at, man. I love listening to my brothers, man. The best place, the first commandment is here on Israel. So, you know, I am on that. You dig? And both of y'all brothers be dropping that science like the Lord allowed you to open up my head how the angel went up in a fight. You know? And we were sitting up there, you know, as he got through hollering at Samson's mother and father, said, this is what you're going to have. And then the Lord allowed you to say, well, they made out of fire, but they're a different level of fire because they got in the fire and just left up. Never crossed my mind. Never crossed my mind that you're right. That's a different glow. That's a different glow.
Right.
That lets me know the fire that's going to burn them up is going to be hotter than that.
Right.
So, man, I love listening, man, you know, because, you know, ain't nothing like being the best teachers are the best students. And that's what my teacher taught me, man. You know, growing up, you know, I had a lot of Afrocentric dudes, and they were like, man, the best teachers are the best listeners, and bruh, can't go wrong there. So, like I said, the flow is yours and drip tidings, man. Praise God.
Excuse me, Brother Joe, Brother Nehemiah, Brother Isaiah. I love listening to all three of you guys.
Amen.
Well, we enjoy listening to you too, Miss Mary.
Sister Mary.
My sister.
Right on, right on. Sister.
Yep. You guys are
stuff.
I love it.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad, sister. I'm glad for you to be on the Blog Talk Show as well, Sister Mary.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. It's a blessing.
It is a blessing.
Turn it down. I see it. Good job. Turn it down.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get into the second part of Ezra. And this is the last part of the book of Ezra that we're dealing with tonight. And I don't think I was able to put the rest of the title inside of the book of Ezra, but I will just go ahead and just give the title of the precept again. The name of the precept tonight is called The Book of Ezra, Part 2, Food for Thought. You know, because how we're looking at the Book of Ezra, we're looking at ourselves as Ezra and the things that we need to do to get things done. Like in Part 1, we realized if we go have trials and tribulations, we're taking care of the Father's business. And, you know, and we also learned in Part 1 that when you taking care of the Lord's business, like how they was preparing for the house of the Lord and all those wonderful things. We also understood, hey, don't put forth your hand in wickedness. And also learn that as long as you keep your faith in God and believe on Him, He's gonna make it come to pass. You might have a couple of bumps in the road and stuff like that, but just stay strong, Lord, to take care of that. We learned all that stuff in Part 1 in the Book of Ezra. With the chief men and the priests and the elders and the children of Israel. And today we're going to do the rest of the book. And it's a lot of names, and we're going to be here all day. So what I'm going to do is just do the best I can just to give a quick summary on a lot of things so we're not here all night and hold nobody hostage on a Blog Talk radio show. and then turn around next week when we get two listeners in. We don't want to do that. So I'm not going to hold y'all hostage, but I'm going to be doing a whole bunch of, so we can just get to the message that the Father showed me to bring forth tonight. And Brother Nakomi, are you good to read for me tonight, bro?
Yes.
Amen. Good news. Very good news. So tonight's lesson is called The Book of Ezra, Part 2, Food for Thought. One more time. The name of the lesson is called The Book of Ezra, Part 2, Food for Thought. I'm going to start us out in the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother Nakomi will read whatever the Father put on his heart. Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Doeth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the door. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I have read Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Beautiful script, great script, as always, Nicole. Glad to have you tonight. Big blessing. So, last week we left off in the book of Ezra, chapter 6. So, please, ladies and gentlemen, let's go into the book of Ezra, chapter 7. It's because the Lord brought something to my attention in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, that we're going to find out in the next verse after we finish reading Ezra 7. But what we're going to do is let's break this thing down. It's nice, smooth as butter. Excuse me. Nice and smooth like butter. So right now we're about to read about the king, Artaxerxes, and the things that the Father put on his heart to tell Ezra to get done. So what we're going to do is just read the book of Ezra chapter 7 and just read verse 1 that we're going to skip, okay? The book of Ezra chapter 7 verse 1, when you get it, go ahead and read.
Ezra chapter 7 verse 1. Now after these things in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah.
Amen. So basically in verse, so this is just going down to his lineage and his generations. You know, we got Ezra, that's all we need, is to understand who Artaxerxes is by just not talking to. So it said, now after these things in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, is to break down the rest of his lineage. But we know we talked about Ezra right now. We also know that at this appointed time that it is King Artaxerxes that's reigning in Persia. So skip down to verse 6 and go ahead and read.
Verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him.
Mm-hmm.
And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now,
Amen.
This is the copy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra, the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee, for as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors, inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God, which is in thy hand, and to carry the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the free will offering of the people and of the priests offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou
mm-hmm.
mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God.
Uh-huh.
The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. Whatsoever more shall be needed for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow it out of the king's treasure house.
Skip down to 23.
Even I,
skip down to 23.
Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons?
Uh-huh.
Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levite singers, potters, Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thy hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which have put such a thing at this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me.
So after all, as a matter of fact, bro, that was some phenomenal reading you was doing. And then Artaxerxes the king, right? And we have Ezra. What did Ezra say in verse 27? Or when you read verse 27, it said, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which have put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Look at all this. Look at all these beautiful things that Artaxerxes is writing to get at Ezra about the house of God. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which have put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Let's find out why Artaxerxes was so thorough and firm on getting this thing done. Let's go in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 15. Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 15, and we're going to read verses 15 through 17. Proverbs 8, verses 15 through 17. And when you get it, bro, what the script say?
Proverbs chapter 8, starting at 15. By me kings reign and princes decree justice.
So
by
that's
me,
why
princes
our, so that's why our Texas had to get this thing right to Ezra. Because by the God of Israel, by him kings reign and princes decree justice. So that's why we shouldn't be too far out worried about what man in power is doing, because the Lord is in control of everything. When it was Obama's turn to reign, it was because the Lord wanted him to reign. The Lord wants Trump to be king. Well, the president, he's the president because God wants him to be president. All of the judges and rulers of the world is by his hand. So it don't matter what they're doing. If we're doing right, he gonna make sure they do right by us. But when you read verse 15, it said, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. Go ahead and read.
16. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth.
By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Control everything. This non-Israelite, this king that told Ezra to go build the house of the Lord and get everything ready for it, the gold, the silver, the singers, the chief men, the priests, everybody. and y'all go take care of y'all business. Because the Lord is in control of everything, no matter who in charge. We need to understand we dance by his beat. 15 said, by me kings reign, by the God of Israel kings reign, and princes decree justice. By the great and heavenly Father, by me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I don't know why I got 17. We don't need to read 17. This is another part of what we're talking about. But what we understand in verses, so Sister Red, when you're doing the scripts, just put 15 through 16. And where 17 is a misprint. Well, not a misprint, but a misprint on my paper. So it says, amen. So it says, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. So the Lord is in control of all kings. The Lord is in control of all princes. The God of Israel is in charge of all the nobles, and the most God of Israel is even in control of all the judges of the earth. This is his plan, his business. But Ezra, why did the Lord allow Artaxerxes to go to Ezra? They say he was ready to scribe, right? But the Lord found something in Ezra that was very interesting. Let's find out why Ezra was so interesting, and the Lord used Artaxerxes, king of Persia, to go talk to him. Well, write a letter unto him. Excuse me. Let's go in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Why was Ezra so important, and why did the Lord allow Artaxerxes to write this letter to Ezra to get this thing done? We already know he was a ready scribe and he was perfected in the law of Moses, but it was something that was very interesting that was on Ezra for this thing to get done. Let's find that thing out. We're in the book of Proverbs 22 and just read verse 29 for me.
Proverbs 22 and 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men.
So that's why Ezra was able to stand in front of Artaxerxes or get this letter and find himself honorable enough or presentable enough to get this thing done. It's because it says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And we look at the word diligent. Diligent is an adjective, and it means zealous, eager. In his business, he shall stand before kings. So Ezra was eager. Ezra was zealous. And the Lord knew when he put this work in Ezra's hands, Ezra's going to execute this thing righteously. So he was a ready scribe. He had great knowledge and understanding in the book of the law of Moses. And he was also zealous and very eager to get this thing done. So when the Lord put it in Artaxerxes' mind to write the letter to Ezra, Ezra was suitable enough to get the job done. Because he was zealous, he was eager to take care of the Lord's business. And that's how we got to be as well. For the Lord to use us, we got to be zealous. We got to be very eager to do the portion that the Lord allowed us to do. So let's find out the rest of this. Let's go to the book of Ezra, chapter 8, verse 1. We're in the book of Ezra, chapter 8. And, Nakomi, we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip down to 33, okay? So the book of Ezra, chapter 8. Verses 1 through 3, then we're going to skip to verse 33. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Ezra chapter 8, starting at the 1. These are now the chief of their fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king, of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom, of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel, of the sons of David, Hattush, of the sons of Shechaniah, and of the sons of Farosh, Zechariah, and with him were reckoned by genealogy of the males, and 150.
So now, on your own time, read the rest of this. But the reason why we're not going to read all of this is because this is just letting us know that these were all of the chief of the fathers that went with Ezra from Babylon and the reign taxes the king. Artaxerxes. I cannot say how you say it, bro, so I'm just going to say Artaxerxes. But how Dacomia said it, that's the right way how to say it. I just can't say it that way, so I'm just going to say Artaxerxes. Please excuse me. But anyways, on your own time in the book of Ezra chapter 8, read the rest of this stuff and understand these are the chief men that came from Babylon with Ezra in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. So these are all the men. Yes, sir.
Brother, that's the Xerxes. That's out of Xerxes. If you can remember 300, that's where they got that name from, Xerxes. He became a Persian.
I will try my best, bro. I cannot say that for nothing. Hold on, let me go ahead and write this down. Okay, say it again. I'm going to use my own words. Say it again.
Out of Xerxes, not our taxes. It's our Xerxes.
You said out of Xerxes?
Out of Xerxes.
Okay, I got to add a Xerxes.
Right.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's on a Blog Talk Radio tonight. Please excuse me. I couldn't say that word to save my life. So when you hear me say Artaxerxes in slang and Ebonics, please excuse me. But it is add a Xerxes. So please excuse me. I try to catch him in the call me saying, so I say it right. But on your own time, let's try it again. On your own time, read verses. We started the first verse and read the whole thing and understand that these are the chief men that came from Ezra out of Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes, king. So you all have to read the rest of these men. So the reason why we're skipping is because these are just all the men and like they jobs with the vessels and stuff on taking care of the Lord's business. And also, just a little quick reminder is that Ezra took men to Edu to find the Levites, Levitical priesthood to get the rest of the stuff done. Very interesting things, but we don't have time to get to that tonight. So your own time, read the whole chapter of Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 to the end, okay? So skip down to verse 33, bro, and go ahead and read.
Ezra 8:33. Now on the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Merimoth, the son of Uriah, the priest, and with him was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas, and with them was Jozabad, the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, the son of Binui, Levites, by the number and by weight of everyone, and all the weight was written at that time. Also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offer burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 90 and 6 rams, 70 and 7 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. And they delivered the king's commission unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side the river, and they further the people in the house of God.
Amen. So now we get a smooth understanding on what the chief of the fathers and Ezra was doing when he was taking care of the Lord's business. You know, they got everything ready. know, they got everything ready. Everybody's going to the aunt. Everybody's been about their father's business on getting the house of God, getting the house of God done. But what stuck out to me like a sore thumbnail is that it said the children was with them. Amen. The children was with them when they was taking care of the business. Why do you think it was such a blessing and such a beautiful sight unto the Lord to have the children with you? I mean, excuse me, not with you, but with them. Let's find out why. Let's go to the book of Proverbs 22. Because they said they had the children with them, right? And let's find out why it was a beautiful thing, why they had the children with them when they was taking care of the business of building the house of the Lord. Let's find out why. We're in the book of Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Just that one verse, when you get it, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
He will not depart from it. So if you got children, and your children, you are supposed to be a living example of how to be a servant of God so your children can see it so they learn how to be a great servant of God. When the father put business in your hands to do it, you teach your children as well. When they was taking care of the Lord's business, when they was getting the vessels and the gold, the chief men and the elders, Ezra, doing the supreme job of taking care of the father's business, they made sure they had their children with them. Because we also understand in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, is that the book simply says that you train up a child in the way he should go. And what's a better way to go than serving God? And it also says, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it was a great thing that they had their kids with them. So a child is never too young to learn how to serve God, right? Because if you teach somebody young, you don't have to worry about them later to try to unteach the folly that the world taught them. This is what this thing is about. But as usual, we all know, let's go back to Ezra 9. We all know this story. And it's something that we need to be mindful of, a food for thought of what we need to be mindful of when you're taking care of God's business. You have to still remember your flesh. You got to understand that the devil is a worthy adversary. You need to understand that there's no thought that could be here from Satan the devil. And if it's all these people and a multitude of people that came out of Babylon with Ezra, we all need to understand this. But before we understand that, we got to understand the issue they're having first. Israelites at this time of Ezra is having some serious issues. They was on the right track. But let's find out how long they stayed on the right track. So we're in the book of Ezra chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2, but keep your finger in Ezra 9 because we're coming back to Ezra 9. Read Ezra 9 verses 1 and 2, and we're going to break this thing down, smooth like butter. And 2, I'm not going to cut you off. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Ezra chapter 9 starting at 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and Jebusites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm not going to judge them. You know, they started out right. You know what I'm saying? They started out right. They started out building the house of God, get the singers and the gold and the vessels and the silver and stuff, you know, and getting things ready and prepared. And even to go far enough to make sure they got it right, that Ezra said, man, to eat it. to get the Levites and Levitical priesthood to get this thing completely right and done straight. Hey, it seems like Israel got into some folly. What did they forget about? They forgot something. When they was taking care of Lord business, they forgot something. Billy, of what they have forgotten. Let's find out. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 7. And keep, please keep your finger in Ezra 9 because we're coming right back after this. But they was doing all this wonderful work in getting the house of God done. I mean, getting the house of God right. But they forgot something. Something wasn't right with them. And we need to understand this too. When we want to do right, hey, sometimes something ain't right with us. And that's why on your own time, go on the Sounds of Living Water blog talk website and look at the lesson that Nakomi did yesterday. What was the name of your lesson you did yesterday, Nakomi? I forgot the name of it.
I'm in the now, not the past.
I'm in the now, not the past. On your own time, go on to the Sounds of Living Water, the Sounds of Living Water website and check that lesson out. And understand that even though you fall short and your trials and tribulations try to come back on you, forsake those things and still move forward. That was a beautiful lesson, and honestly, it go hand in glove with what we're dealing with right now. But the children of Israel started to transgress and started to commit sin with the other people in the nations, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and all them. They started to do wicked after they was doing good, but if you are serving the God, you need to understand something. Let's find out what we need to understand and be mindful of when you're taking care of the Lord's business. We're in the book of Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans chapter 7 and pick it up at verse 3. We're going to read verses, We're in the book of Romans chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 18 and 19 and we go skip, okay? The book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 18 through 19. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Romans 7, picking it up at the 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not.
So when you're taking care of the Lord's business, hey, you got to understand that you in this flesh. You need to understand that even though the Lord allow you to do something, that flesh ain't going to always want to be right. And that's why I'm glad and thankful that Paul put this in this script in verse 18. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So it doesn't do good at times, and sometimes we have difficulties doing good. But at the same point of time is that when you want to do good, sometimes it's not even in us to do good. The flesh can get weary when you're trying to take care of the Lord's business. So did the chief priests and the elders and the children of Israel building the house of the Lord with Ezra, is it a possibility that their flesh started to get weak and they started to get weary doing this thing? So we need to understand this and prepare ourselves. Verse 19.
For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do.
So now they got a little problem now. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. So, hey, food for thought. Be mindful. When the Lord got business for you to do, then that your flesh not going to always want to do it. So that's why you always got to pray. You always got to fast. You got to always read your book and always ask the Father to keep his shielding and protection around you when you're taking care of the Lord's business, because who knows what this flesh want to do. But remember, that's why the Lord gives us a broad mind to fight against the flesh, because if your mind is right and your mind is stable, then it can overrun the body. It can overrun this flesh. But if your mind is jacked up, then it's just a matter of time before you fall into folly. But understand, when you're taking care of your business, or when you're doing your talents, when you're doing your lessons, or anything, and definitely this Christian walk that we try to do every single day, when you want to do good, just remember, evil is always present with you, and that's what the children of Israel did. They started to mingle with some evil. Now, skip down to verse 21, and we're going right back into the book of Ezra. Skip down to 21, and we're out of here.
21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
They wanted to do good. They wanted to get the house of God right. They wanted to get the gold, the silver, and the vessels, and the singers, and the Levitical priesthood. They want to do right. They want to get this stuff done. But woe unto that flesh. And sometimes when you want to do good, matter of fact, in general, when you want to do good, always remember evil is present with you. Let's be mindful of that. But Israel transgressed. Let's read the rest of the story. So now let's go right back into the book of Ezra, chapter 9. We're in the book of Ezra, chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 3 through 15. And I'll cut you off if necessary. The book of Ezra, chapter 9, verses 3 through 15. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Ezra 9, starting at 3. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blessed to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered unto the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants, the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from the end to the other, with their uncleanness. Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of those abominations. Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespass, for we cannot stand before thee because of this.
Whoa. So, even though Ezra wasn't a part of this situation, who did he sound like when he made this? We go topic on this Ezra. But let's see who Ezra, even though he wasn't a part of it, let's see who Ezra was sounding like. Let's go in the book. Keep your finger here. We're going to talk about this again. Let's go in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 1. He sounds like somebody. Let's see who he sounds like. And we all need to get a full-blown understanding when we fall short and when we sin, then the smartest thing to do is do what Ezra did. And I ain't telling you to rip your beard out and pluck your hair out, but that just showed you how serious Ezra was about this. But he was praying like somebody, and when I was reading this, this is who he sounded like to me. Psalms 51 and 1. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Psalms 51, starting at the 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin in error before me.
Mm-hmm.
Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest proof in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoin. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver
amen.
Me from...
So, oh, amen. That's good enough, bro. That's good enough. So this is who Ezra to me sounds like. He sounds like David. And what we need to understand is that the prayer that Ezra did, and he's looking at this prayer that David did, when you know you in the wrong or you fall short, then you better get on your knees and pray. You heard of pray? And we do pray. But there's a time when you pray. You really pray. Because you got a job to do. You're doing a job. But then you got that flesh that want to do his own thing. And if you're not able to... if you're not able to override that thought or feeling in your body, then it's going to cause you to sin against God. And if you sin against God, then you better get on your knees and pray. Even though Ezra wasn't a part of it, but he prayed like he was a part of it. And then we went into the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 1, and to see David and his prayer, this is when you really pray. It's because when the Lord bless us with something, when the Lord give us a job to do, the last thing you want to do is mess it up. They messed it up. So Ezra prayed for him. We just read this book of Psalms 51 and looking at how you really pray when you mess up. So take heed to that. But Ezra is really doing some praying for these people for their transgressions that they have committed against the Lord. But let's look at the chief priests and the elders and the children of Israel. Let's look at their conversation with Ezra with this transgression. Let's go into the book of Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. The book of Ezra chapter 10, verse 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Ezra chapter 10, starting at 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore.
Mm-hmm.
And Shetaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it.
Right. So they did this thing, right? But when I'm going back up to verse 1. It says, now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled to him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women, right? And children, for the people wept very sore. So that's a good thing to do. You're supposed to be crying and be very heavy when you know you did wrong. And verse 2 says, and Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God. When David sinned and did wrong, and when the matter came back to him, he said, I have sinned against God. That's what you want to do. Don't have that pride in your heart. Don't have that don't be all full of yourself, to all puffed up like you don't think you did something wrong. Don't be like that. When you know you did something wrong, confess your faults. And be, you know what I'm saying, and do this thing right. But when you're looking at this thing, man, they coming heavy. They coming sore. So what that tell me is obvious they must have a contrite spirit because they done this thing. What the Lord think about people with a contrite spirit who know they did wrong but are brokenhearted because they want to start doing right? What do God think about people that has a contrite spirit? Let's go in the book of Psalms 34 and 18. In the book of Psalms chapter 34, and we just going to read one verse, verse 18. The book of Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Psalms 34 and 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Right. So this is what we need to understand. Well, you know you did wrong, and you're looking at your, and all of a sudden you look at the folly that you went to, man, you're supposed to have a contrite spirit. Lord, I messed up, but man, I feel bad for messing up. Lord, forgive me. They came weeping and crying. They came with their kids. And they confessed they wrong. They were sorry. They was broken. And the book said the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and saving such as be of a contrite spirit. He's near to them. Because they observe they're wrong, they acknowledge they're wrong, and now they come back to me all brokenhearted and stuff because they want to do right. So, man, maybe the Lord, now I can work with you. Even though you did stupid in my eyesight, but now you know that your flesh is, you know, now you know that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. You know when you want to do good, evil's present with you now. And if you slip and fall sometimes, ask me for forgiveness and come with a contrite and broken spirit and just do the best you can to do better next time. But the book is telling us that the Lord is near unto those that's of a broken and the contrite spirit. So now let's go right back into the book of Ezra chapter 10.
So they can obviously wrong. They know they did wrong.
So now we're in the book of Ezra chapter 10, and we're going. You got a lot of reading to do right here, bro. We got a lot of reading to do on Ezra 10. And after we read Ezra 10, we got three more spots after this. But we're in Ezra 10, read verses 5 through 12, and we go skip, okay?
Okay. Ezra 10, starting at the 5. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliasib, and when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourning because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be fortified and himself separated from the, forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter, and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed, and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do.
Amen. So, you know, as it said, Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib, and when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water for more because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. So, you know, he was real displeased about this thing. But after all this stuff, remember, they came with a contrite spirit. The Lord didn't rain fire on them or nothing like that, or just take them out right then and there. But Ezra had them to swear that you're going to do this thing right, and you're going to take away them strange wives, and y'all going to do this thing right. And verse 11 says, now therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land, and from the strange wives. Right? So, by coming with that contrite spirit, the Lord can work with you. Because you're brokenhearted. You want to change. You want to do right. Even though we fail short, Lord, we all fall short at times. And we do have that contrite spirit. But the whole thing is that are you willing to change to try to get this thing right? Are you dealing with pride, or are you coming contrite? Are you coming with, I did it, yeah, so what? Or are you coming, yeah, I did it, I was wrong, I was foul, but it's obvious that they confessed their sin, they confessed their wrong. And Ezra was telling them right now, man, y'all transgressed, man, and y'all did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, y'all want y'all to do this, I want y'all to swear and say y'all going to do this thing right. And when you read verse 12, it says, then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. So we need to look at this thing in the exact same way. When we fall short, and we cut, when we fall short, and we dealing with sin we ain't got no business dealing with, man, you know, hey, stuff happens sometimes. Lord, be merciful unto all us sinners. But acknowledge your wrong. Acknowledge your faults. And do the best you can to do better next time. So skip down to verse 16, bro. Man, you go read verses 16 to the end.
16. And the children of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, the certain chief of the fathers after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their name, were separated and sat down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. And among the sons of the priests there were found that had taken strange wives, namely the sons of Jeshua, the son of Zadok, and his brethren Messiah and Eleazar and Jarib and Leah, and they gave their hand that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for their trespass. And the sons of Immer, Hanani, and Zadiah, and all the sons of Hamrim, and Maaseiah, and Elijah, and Shemaiah, and Jehiel, and Uzziah, and of the sons of Pashur, Eliohenai, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Nethaniel, Josabad, and Elisha. Also the Levites, Josabad, and Simei, and Keliah, the same is Kelita, Pethahiah, Judah, and Eleazar, of the singers also Eliasib, and the potters Shalom, Elim, and Uri.
All right, that's good enough, bro. That's good enough, bro. We just want to get a. We don't need to read the whole 44 because that's good enough. So basically, these are the men that's coming up that's doing a confession on who had bidden in this folly. So skip down to verse 44. On your own time, you can read the rest of the names that did this transgression. Of the children of Israel. But skip down to verse 44.
All these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children.
So, hey, these are all the people. They acknowledged their sin. They acknowledged their wrong. They made a covenant. They made a covenant with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And they all said that all the words that came out of Ezra's mouth from the Lord, they was going to do. So this is a quick, firm understanding on when you're taking care of the Lord's business. You got your woes, you got your goods, you got your bad, you got your folly, you got your BS, you got your haters, you got the backbiters, you got the whisperers. You know what I'm saying? You got all those things you have to worry about. And the same point in time is that the Lord is always telling us not to put forth our hand in wickedness, but whatever the Lord gave us to do in our heart, get it done and put our faith in him. And to always remember, do not put forth your hand in wickedness. Because he put forth your hand in wickedness, and now you're taking a chance for wickedness to come towards you. But that's the book of Ezra. And these are the men that had issue with putting their hands on strange women. They all came together. They all asked for forgiveness. They all had, these people had a contrite spirit, and now they want to try to do this thing right. Amen. We got to the book of Ezra. Now, we have three more after this. Now, let's go in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 9. Just verse 9. Because we need to understand one thing, too. It was a good thing that they did that. You know what I'm saying? Even though they slipped and did some folly, but it's a good thing that they did this. And what did the Lord look at this? What did the Lord look at us when we do something like this? When you confess your sins. When you know you did wrong. When you know you have a contrite spirit. And how bad you feel after the Lord giving you a supreme work to do in the vineyard. Coming up short, this is what you should do. the book of John, chapter 1, verse 9. When you get it, go ahead and read.
St. John's chapter 1 and 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Oh, that's wrong.
He was,
that's wrong. Hold on one second. Let's try 1 John. Maybe I put that wrong. That's all the way wrong. Yeah, sorry about that. Yep, that's 1 John. I'm sorry. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. When you know you're wrong, this is what you should do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So that's what you got. That's what you got to look forward for. When you confess your sins, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So yeah, y'all had. I gave y'all business to. I gave y'all a job to do to build the house of the Lord with all the vessels, the gold, the silver, and got your singers together. You know what I'm saying? And even got the Levitical priesthood in order to get this thing done. I understand that. But when you sin, make sure you confess your sins to the God, because the God of Israel is a very forgiving God, and he's ready to forgive us of all our sins. But we have to confess our sins. You got to come with a contrite spirit, and he is ready to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. So be mindful that when you're taking care of your business or whatever business that you have with the Lord, and understand the book of Ezra and the things that they had to do and their trials and tribulations. But let's go to book Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, and we have one more after this. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
And that's what he do with all of us. He's ready to forgive us. And he always got his hand out ready for us. Who's ever willing to throw their hand up, throw your hand up, and let the Lord deliver you. But remember, this is not just going to be no easy task. Because remember, the book said, just man falls 7 times. You're going to have your trials. You're going to have your tribulations. But don't think for a second that you're not able to get back up. Have faith that you can get back up even though you transgress and sin. Just do the best you can next time. Okay? Let's just do better. Now let's go to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. We can read verses 22 and 23, and this will be last.
Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion failed not.
So when the children of Israel transgressed and did wrong in the book of Ezra, we need to understand this right here. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion failed not. Verse 23.
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
We serve a great and incredible God, rich in mercy, plenteous in mercy, ready to forgive. He don't want one to perish, but we got to do what's right. And even when you fall, man, just knock the dust off your shoulders and ask God for forgiveness, and just try your best to do it better next time. And that's why we read the book of Ezra, to look at their trials and tribulations when it came to building the house of God, and to understand that you're gonna have your ups and downs. It's not going to be always perfect and straight. You're going to always have to deal with something. But the whole thing is who's willing to get back up after they fall? Remember, just man falls 7 times. But the righteous and those that serve and fear God, go, the Lord is going to make sure he pick up every single time. And that was the book of Ezra, part 2, Food for Thought. I hope y'all got an understanding, and I thank y'all for y'all time.
Look at them, he's going to say, you was born in this land and you was born in that land.
So you don't know what lineage you out of when he come back. He gonna set it straight, and you gonna get official papers. That's if you allow you in the land. You gonna get official papers. You out of the tribe of Judah. You out of the tribe of Dan. You will have official papers because you gonna get an inheritance of the land. You gonna get you some inheritance. You got to get you an inheritance. You gonna get your 10 acres. So. Hey man, great precept, bro. Love it, love it, love it, love it. I hear.
Amen.
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 Shalom.
Shalom, bro.
Oh yeah. Oh, great lesson. I understand. It's funny how the spirit. Saying a lot of what I bought last night was in this lesson, so I guess that's the spirit that God want out there right now. But yeah, great lesson is showing, man. You can be a part of this work, and you still got to fight yourself. You still got to deal with yourself, your flesh. I tell people all the time, I'm nothing special. I just know the word, but I'm still a human. I still got to deal with everything like everyone else. So, like I'm saying, this was a great one showing that, yeah, you might have been chosen to do some things, but that don't mean that you want to be all the way right. You got, like I said, you got to try to fight to be right and continue and don't let those things hold you back. But these brothers turned around and repent, like we also do repent and turn and do right. So, great lesson, great precept. Just like Brother Job said, if you ever read Ezra in the book of Nehemiah, these some real great books that a lot of people don't deal with that much. But I love both Nehemiah and Ezra, great books. But great precept, brother, great lesson.
I'll praise, bro. I'm glad you get a chance to read for me, bro.
Amen. Well, with that being said, brothers, any more questions or comments?
That we bled enough tonight.
Okay. Well, we got any closing comments before we close out, brother?
Hey, as usual. You know what I'm saying? Like with the book of Ezra, you know what I'm saying? Like with Coma was topping off, man. You know, hey, we all got trials and tribulations. We all got issues, you know. Keep your sins at a minimum and just do the best you can to fight that off. And do the best you can to have your righteousness surpass your shortcomings. We all fall short, but you know, hey, keep trying. Keep pressing towards the mark. And through the grace of God, we can all get to that spot and make it to the kingdom. And if we do make it to the kingdom, remember it was grace and mercy, and mercy and grace that saved us alone. Now you get a mic.
Amen. I just want to say great job, Brother Isaiah Brown. Brother McCombie, great job, first and foremost, man, for getting that scripture, man. You know, it's very necessary for, you know, brothers like Brother Isaiah and Nehemiah and sometimes myself to be able to expound on the scripts. But the most important person on deck is the person that's really reading the book. I know a lot of times we look at the person that's actually, you know, bringing the scriptures. And no, actually, the real most important person is the person that's reading. And a lot of times, man, a person that's reading can really dictate how the lesson is going to go. You know, they can inspire or they can put out the fire, you know. But great job, brother. Great job, Coming, man. I like to call you Nehemiah, but you know, I say. Great job with that, Isaiah, man. You couldn't have picked a better lesson and a better title, man. People sleep on Ezra. We don't give them brothers enough love, man. We always talk about David. Don't get me wrong, I love David, man, but he. You know how you just like, man, David is like Tisa, but after 2 days of it, you know what I'm saying? You know, what about the rest of these brothers, man? You know, you'll never hear about Gideon, and you'll never hear about, you know, how come you'll never run the Bush of Lamentations, man? Why you ain't in there? You know, why you always all up on Moses and David like you next to them or something? You ain't got nothing to do with them. You know, you in the Lamentation book. You better figure out that part. You know, your story's in Lamentation. You know, we never touch down on that, man. And those are the things, them the brothers we need to really be looking at, man, because they the ones that's pointing out their heart to God. And they the ones that teach you how to get forgiveness, you know. So I love the fact that you chose to go there, like Nakomi did a couple of months ago, the book of Esther, the whole book of Esther. You know, you don't see that, you don't get that. You know, you need that. You need to be reminded of that, you know. God willing, man, you know, who knows, maybe somebody could do the whole book of Ruth, you know. And get the story of Boaz and how the Lord didn't, you know, hooked up Boaz with one of Lot's daughter, what is that, Moabite. Yeah. No, what's her name, Naomi? Not Naomi, but Ruth. She was a Moabite. Yeah, she was a Moabite. She wasn't an Israelite, she was a stranger. And the Lord allowed King David to come through her. The Lord allowed Jesse, David's father, to come through her. And people sleep on Jesse, man. Jesse is David's father, and Jesse represents David is in the spirit of Jesus, and Jesse is actually the spirit of the father. Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, or J-E-S-U-S. You know, there it is. It's like you see them right there. It's phenomenal scripts, man. You know, when you deal with the strangers, you got to deal with that with understanding. You know, you got to deal with them with understanding. You know, them brothers just want having them kicked out, man. These cats, he said the royal bloodline. That's what he's talking about. The royal bloodline was tainted. And he said the priesthood was tainted, so he had to get that straight. But it's a law. If a man was married, took a wife that was a stranger, then she had to mourn her people for 30 days. So it's a law for that. But it was certain people that we couldn't touch at all. And Solomon went that route and got caught up. Great lesson, man. We gotta read that book of Nehemiah and Ezra. Man, if y'all don't read them books, y'all miss out on the feast days. Y'all miss out how the feast really is supposed to be kept. You know, I'm talking about the winter feast, the one that's coming up. If you want to know how to keep the winter feast, the memorial blowing of the trumpets, the feast of the atonement, the feast of tabernacle, and the feast of ingathering, read Nehemiah. He'll teach you. He'll show you how you're supposed to do it. Them books is hot, man, real hot. So, with that being said, man, great precept, Brother Brown, man, out of Peoria, everybody. Big us, man, coming out of there. The Spirit of Meekness Bible Study class. Gotta love them, man. That's a holler. Anybody that loves the Lord and loves the Word, know what they just heard. That being said, tomorrow night we'll be back again at Sounds of Living Waters at 8:00 p.m. Sabbath Eve lesson, and we're gonna be dealing with the Lord our God is a consuming fire. The Lord our God is a consuming fire. So you want to be here for that? That's tomorrow night. Myself. Brother Job and my sister Rhea, a.k.a. Rhea, a.k.a. White, bringing what?
In a state of mind.
Yeah. So we're going to be back. You know, we coming tomorrow night with the Lord our God is a consuming fire. You want to be here for that? What do you mean you want to find out? And then on the Sabbath day, we're dealing with that all about Eve. Yes, all about Eve. Sabbath day, 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll be back here again for the Commonwealth of Israel presentation of the creation. All about Eve. Genesis 3:16. Uh-huh. You know, when you used to battle 45, you had to hit, then you had to flip side. That song, yeah, okay. The B side. That's Genesis 3:16. Yeah, the A and B side. The B side had the lick, the hook on it, you know, like you get Rick James, boy, you know, you and I. And then, you know, you flip it on the side, too. You be like, what the hell? Okay, flip it back over. You know what I mean? Well, anyway, Genesis 3:16 is the B side. So, you know, you want to be here for that. Now, you want to be here for that. One is that you got to know how to deal with those spirits, brothers. And women, you got to learn that those spirits are there for you to deal with. Mm. All right? That's the other thing. So that's the Sabbath day. And we're staying that out. And then, of course, Sunday. Yeah. Pentecost, Jack. All day long, man. I love that. So, big time. Because, you know, hey, man.
Can I read?
Yeah, man. Hey, you said, let all your males here. Let all your males here. That feast, man. That's the feast of the first resurrection, man. That's going to come out the ground first. That's that feast. That's what the Pentecost is about. One, you got to have the spirit of the first fruits. Two, it represents you. If you so blessed to come out the first, gonna come up in the first resurrection, that's what the Pentecost is for. Yeah, I mean, so we want to be there for that. That's this Sunday, man. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone and we hope we didn't leave anybody out. So we want to thank everybody for their time. From my brother Isaiah Brown and the spirit of meekness and Bible study class out of Peoria. I want to thank you for your time and listening. And as we say here, the sounds of living waters do what?
Read your Bible.
Amen. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for your time. We hope we edify someone. And time appointed, God bless you.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water radio show.